Friends, so far we have seen the regulations, rules relating to the trade finance, general rules and regulations which pertains to, and more important is certain terminologies which were used in international trade, that is called Incoterms, and very exclusively we have seen the import transactions, its rules, its regulations, its guidelines, and all other aspects, including financing of import. It is not only handling the document relating to the import, but various options available to the importer to avail the finance for the purpose of effecting the payment of the import bills and import what they have done. So for that purpose, we have seen the trade credit also, which consists of buyer's credit, supplier's credit. Okay. So all this gamut is forming the first part of our discussion, that is import trade. That was import trade. And now onward, we will see about, discuss about the export trade. So as to export, Government of India is giving a more concession, more facilities to the exporters so as to increase the export from the country. Okay, they have set up certain guidelines, certain regulations are also issued by the Ministry of Commerce, and thereafter follow-up is required to be done for the export realization. For that purpose, the guidelines and regulations are established in consultation with the Government of India by Reserve Bank of India and implemented through authorized dealer banks. So, I have taken only two aspects while discussing this. One is general guidelines and second one is export regulation. You are well aware that the export trade is regulated by the Directorate General of Foreign Trade, which is functioning under Ministry of Commerce and Industries, Department of Commerce, Government of India. Foreign trade policy is also prepared and it follows the procedures and the procedures and regulations which are required to be followed by the exporters, and policy procedures also have been devised, and this policy is announced every 5 years by DGFT. They prepare and they announce. However, during the period of 5 years, they always review the policy which they have already issued, and any amendment they require to be made, they are doing it and publishing for the interest of the people, for the interest of the traders, particularly exporters. Reserve Bank of India, as per the Foreign Exchange Management Act, that is FEMA 1999, framed certain regulations which are notified in notification number 23, which is issued by them in 2016, and it is subsequently updated from time to time. Now, when we say the export, that means export is nothing but it is goods are going out and the foreign currency is coming in, that is by the country. Okay. We are always short of the balance of payment and reserve also. Though reserve is good, around $540+ billion, but still the country requires the more reserve. So it requires more inflow of the foreign exchange, and foreign exchange inflow will happen only and only when certain goods have gone out by means of export. So the objective of the export and keeping the control on the export as well as giving the concessions to the export is to prevent the export of the goods, which is essential for the development and maintenance of the country's economy. Such a kind of goods are generally prohibited or restricted for the export from the country. Second objective is to ensure that full value of the export of goods in respect of the goods exported is realized within the prescribed period, prescribed time limit, and by way of permitted method of payment. Okay. The realization and repatriation of the proceeds of export of the goods, software and services is forming the essential part of the export of the goods and services. For each and every exporter, it is obligatory for them to repatriate full value or realize full value of the goods or services they have entered or software they have exported within a stipulated period from the date of export, which is tabulated as under. Number one, all the export of the goods, services, including the export from the domestic tariff area, that is in our area, including export from SEZ, and also export by the special economic zone, export by export-oriented unit, or it may be electronic technology park, that is EHTPs, and software technology park, that is STPs, biotechnology park, that is BTPs. For all of them, the common guideline for realization of export of the goods and services and technology also is 9 months from the date of supply of goods, date of supply of software, or date of provided the services. Within 9 months, it has to be completed. That means realization must not be outstanding beyond 9 months. Okay. Only exception for the realization is given is the goods which are sent abroad for keeping in the warehouse which is established by the exporter, either by the rental or maybe by on lease, or maybe it is owned warehouse by the exporter. The realization period for them is considered as 6 months extra, that is 15 months period. So in short, all exports should be realized within 9 months. It may be goods, software or export or services. But this export, if it is for the purpose of the storing in the warehouse, which is established outside the country, okay, for them, the 15 months period from the date of shipment is considered as period for realization of the goods which are exported and stored in overseas warehouse. Another important aspect is manner of receipt of payment. We have seen that in import also. We have seen the manner of giving the payment or manner of making the payment. Exactly reverse of that, there is a manner of receipt of payment procedure is defined by the RBI. Okay. When the payment for the goods which are sold overseas, the buyer, when he visits in India, that time any cash which he has given that can be accepted and considered as the the realization of the goods. Sometimes the exporter may receive the advance for making the export in future date. He is accepting the maybe check drawn by the overseas buyer who visits to India, or maybe he is bringing the cash, he may be bringing the traveler checks. On conversion into Indian rupees, he is handing over to the exporter, and exporter accepts that, and that is a permitted activity. Okay, credit card payment also can be accepted, debit card payment can be accepted. So all these are very much acceptable methods for realization, as a method of realization of export payment. Now, coming down to understand one simple and very digitally or technologically important aspect about the realization and the services which are provided by the service provider to helping the e-commerce industry, for where there is an export of the goods not beyond $10,000 or equivalent, then in that case the facility is provided to the exporter to get these exports realized within the time frame scheduled. And this type of arrangement, which is made in consultation with the Reserve Bank of India and involving AD banks, and the service provider provides its software or platform for collecting the proceeds of the exports, where order was booked on the e-commerce portal and goods were supplied, the realization should happen. For that, the technology is helping the exporters, which is called as online payment gateway service providers. Online payment gateway service providers are providing the platform for the small exporters who are exporting their goods by accepting the order on the e-commerce platform and physically delivering the goods, that is exporting the goods. Okay, this is called the arrangement, which is called as a online payment gateway system. Banks have been allowed by the Reserve Bank of India to offer this facility of repatriation of export related remittances by entering into the standing arrangement with online payment gateway service providers, and they have stipulated certain terms and conditions which are very important to understand. That this OPG's GSP is also applicable for the import of the goods also, which we have elaborately discussed also. In respect of the export also, we have to study in the similar manner so as to understand what is this OPGSP. Okay, the conditions stipulated for giving the facilities to the exporters by AD bank as per the directions issued by the Reserve Bank of India consist of: one, bank offering this facility to carry out the complete due diligence on OPGSP, that is online payment gateway service providers. Complete KYC and due diligence has to be obtained by the bank. Then subsequently, the facility is only available to the goods where the value of the goods is not exceeding $10,000 or its equivalent. Okay, next one is the OPGSP providers. Bank shall open the nostro collection account for receipt of the export, which is export to facilitate through such an arrangement. So in addition to the one nostro account, there will be parallel another account which is called as a nostro collection account. This nostro collection account is linked for each OPGSP. There will be separate nostro collection account, otherwise there will be a mismatch. Okay, now this nostro collection account is linked to the export collection account, which is maintained with the service providers, OPGSP providers, where the collection proceeds are getting dropped into, and at the end of the day these proceeds are transferred to the nostro collection account. And this nostro collection account, at least depending upon the volume of the transactions, number of transactions, it can be automatically switched or transferred from normal nostro account at least 2 to 3 times in a week. Okay, this is the mechanism how it works. Now, when Nostro collection account is opened by the bank for repatriation of the funds which represent the export realization process to India for credit to the exporter's account, payment of the fee, commission, etc. are also permitted to be debited, permitted to be debited to that account and collected by the banks. Balances which are held in the Nostro collection account shall be repatriated and also credited to the respective exporter's account with the bank in India immediately on receipt of confirmation from the importer, that is buyer of the goods, and within 7 days maximum, within 7 days from the date of credit to the Nostro collection account. Banks should satisfy themselves as to the bona fides of the transactions and ensure that the purpose codes, very important, is a purpose code for each and every transaction that is undertaken by the AD bank or exporter or importer, whoever it is, there always there is a one purpose code. And for all the transactions, RBI has declared one purpose code list for import as well as export. Okay, so that purpose code invariably required to be mentioned for each and every transactions. Bank shall submit all the relevant information relating to the transaction under this route through their normal reporting system, that is RRETL. Okay, then each Nostro collection account should be subject to reconciliation also, and audit on quarterly basis audit is stipulated. Resolution of all the payment related complaints, if any, that has to be completed, and that is the responsibility of the service provider, that is OPGSP provider. The bank who are desirous to enter into this arrangement for providing this facility to their exporter customers, okay, and when they are entering into the foreign exchange department, approaching to the Reserve Bank of India, foreign exchange department should give proper permission to them. Okay, so there is a requirement of approval from Reserve Bank of India. In short, startup can also realize the receivable of its overseas subsidiary and repatriate them through the online payment gateway system provider's platform, that is OPGSP. Now friends, OPGSP digitally is very helpful for the small traders who are selling or who are advertising on the internet or providing the platform they are publishing, giving the advertisement on the net, internet, and they are receiving the orders, and once the order is received, they are instructing them to make the payment through this platform. So this is helping a lot to all the exporter clients, and also opening one more avenue of the making payment for amount up to $10,000 or equivalent to credit to realize well within the time frame stipulated. Okay, now settlement of this exports. One important settlement we have already seen in chapter number 7, that there the complete system of manner of payment and receipt and mechanism of settlement of import and export. But however, just to recap it, in short, it is mentioned here that how the settlement system happens. First one is the ACU mechanism, and you people are all aware, because I have already explained that what is this ACU mechanism. This ACU mechanism, okay, from March 6, 2020, nine participant countries in ASEAN Clearing Union will have an option to settle their transactions in either in ACU dollar or in ACU euro or in ACU Japanese yen. Three accounts are given, because there was a little bit issue in relating to the ACU Euro settlement. So that was some time it was kept on hold. Therefore, the ASEAN Monetary Unit denominated the realization ACU dollar, ACU Euro, ACU Yen, which shall be equivalent to the value of actual dollar, actual euro and actual yen. Value, there is no change in this. Only thing is that to identify that transactions are originated from the participating country in ASEAN Clearing Union. Okay. Banks are allowed to open and maintain this ACU Euro, dollar, ACU Euro or ACU Japanese Yen account with them as well as with their correspondent banks. Some countries have been given the relaxation which consists of Myanmar. Trade transactions with Myanmar can be settled in any freely convertible currencies in addition to the ACU mechanism. And all the eligible current account transactions, including the trade transactions with Iran, should be settled in permitted currency outside ACU mechanism. Okay, that is the facility for, one is for Myanmar, second one is for Iran. Okay, this Nostro account, whenever it is used by the commercial bank of the ACU member countries, that is the ACU dollar, euro or Japanese yen, whatever it may be, for the settlement of payment, both the export and import of the goods and services among the ACU countries, to route the transaction through these accounts is permitted. Okay, operations in ACU Euro, as I said some time back, that it has been suspended for some time because of certain issues from 2016, and it is still not continued despite 6 years are over. Therefore, there was a need of another account, and that is why ACU AIN has came into existence. This is about the ACU mechanism. Rest settlement we have already seen in our chapter number 7. Okay, I need not repeat that. Then third party payment for import and export transactions. Taking into consideration the practices which are evolved internationally for effecting the payment of the goods supplied by the India or maybe goods received from other countries in India, there is a permission, it is permitted, which is subject to certain conditions which are already we have seen in import. But as far as export is concerned, whether the similar guidelines are there or not, that we have to see. Third party payment for export and export is also permitted, like how it was permitted to the import transactions. Okay, for that purpose, exporter must enter into firm irrevocable order where, or there must be a tripartite agreement which should be in place. Tripartite agreement means the supplier of the goods from India, buyer of the goods abroad, and there is another party in whose from where the goods are getting realized or payment is received on behalf of buyer abroad. Okay, these are the three parties. Either agreement has to be entered between these three, or there should be a name of the third party written on the invoice by the exporter while exporting the goods, and same invoice should be submitted to the customs office, and customs office while issuing the shipping bill, on that shipping bill also, the third party's name should appear. So, there are three options. One, the name of the third party should be available on the invoice. Name of the third party should be available on the shipping bill. And if both are not there, shipping bill and invoice name is not consisting, the third party's name from where the export is getting realized, and export is likely to be realized from some other party, then for that purpose, immediately exporter has to arrange a tripartite agreement with the proposed remitter of the funds as an export realization and actually the buyer of the goods. Okay, so these are some of the important aspects which we have to keep in mind while handling the third party transactions. Bank should satisfy with the bona fides of the third party also, and this export document, that is invoice or other kind of document like foreign inward remittance certificate, etc., has to be properly submitted by the exporter to the bank through which the settlement is happening. Bank should also consider the FATF statement, that is Financial Action Task Force, and the country should not be mentioned in the non-FATF compliant countries list. The third party payment should be routed through the banking channel only and not through the any other channel. Exporter should declare third party's remittance in export declaration form also, that is EDF form, and it also will have a responsibility of the exporter to realize and repatriate the export proceeds from such a third party which is named in the EDF form. Okay, it should also be responsibility of the exporter to realize and repatriate the export of the goods proceeds from such a third party named in EDF. Further, the settlement of the export transaction, when we were talking about, there may be certain instances where there is a problem where the currency of the country where the goods have been sold, it may not be having direct exchange rate mechanism or system in place. Under such situation, how the export proceeds will be realized? Okay. For that purpose, there is a guideline issued by the Reserve Bank of India. Settlement takes place in currency of the beneficiary, right? Currency of the beneficiary in general terms, which is convertible. And if it does not have the direct exchange rate, bank will also permit them to settle such an export transaction subject to certain conditions, which consist of exporter shall be a customer of AD bank. Okay, then signed a contract and invoice should be freely convertible currency, and the beneficiary is willing to receive the payment in currency of the beneficiary instead of the original, that is freely convertible currency of the invoice or contract, letter of credit, as a full and final settlement. It means while exporting the goods, the currency which is used for valuation, if that currency is not available and it doesn't have any direct quotation in the foreign exchange market, then approximately, which is likely to the country of that particular currency, which is a different from what is mentioned in the invoice, that currency also can be accepted, but provided it is freely convertible currency. Okay, then AD bank satisfied with the bona fides of the transaction, and counterparts, that is another party, buyer of the goods, okay, should not be from the country which is non-compliant of FATF jurisdiction. Okay, coming down to another regulation or the rules, that is export to the neighboring countries by road, rail or river. Best example to understand is export to Nepal, Bhutan and export to Bangladesh from India, because all the three modes are applicable there. So in case of export, Nepal and Bhutan, they are landlocked countries, that is one. Similarly is a Bangladesh, where there is a other, that is country craft which used or barges will be used for travel through the river, and goods are reaching to the Bangladesh. Even on land route also they are adopting, more particularly land route is adopted for supply of the goods from India to Bangladesh. Okay, so in case of export by the barges, country crafts or maybe road transport, the form should be represented by the exporter or his agent at the custom station, which is at the border post. Custom station is available at the border post through which the vessel or vehicle has to pass before crossing over the foreign territory. There is a one form which is required to be handed over by the agent of the exporter to that custom authority, get it certified that it has crossed the border. Okay. Therefore, exporter may arrange to give the form to the person in charge of the vessel or vehicle and forward it to the agent at the border for submission to the customs department. For export by rail or custom staff has to be posted at certain designated railway stations for attending the custom formality or attesting the document. They will collect the export declaration form, that is EDF, for the goods which are loaded at these stations so that the goods may move straight to the foreign country without further formalities at the border. Okay. Now coming down to understand the another aspect, that is counter trade arrangement. This counter trade arrangement also we have seen earlier also in import while dealing with the import section. Okay. RBI has one has to make the application to the RBI. So Reserve Bank of India on application will consider the counter trade proposal from Indian exporter with Romania, particularly I am talking about Romania. So Romania and the settlement happens through the Reserve Bank of India. Okay. So in terms of the voluntary arrangement which is entered into between the concerned parties, and subject to condition that among the other things the Indian exporter should utilize the funds of the import of the goods from Romania into India within 6 months from the date of credit to the escrow account, which is allowed to be opened by Reserve Bank of India under the counter trade arrangement which is made with the Romania. If this aspect we have considered, another aspect, very important regulation, is a forfeiting. Exim Bank, AD Bank, they have been permitted to undertake the forfeiting business, and very recently it is permitted, okay, for financing the export receivable. Export will be received in future, but much before that it is required to be financed. Okay. So the remittance of the commitment fee, remittance of service charges, etc., payable by the exporter as approved by the Exim Bank or AD category 1 bank concerned may be done through the AD bank only. Such a remittance may be made in advance in one lump sum or at one monthly interval also. Export factoring on recourse basis. Export factoring on non-recourse basis. Generally, export finance is on recourse basis. But there are certain companies or entities which also factors or purchases export proposed to be realized on non-recourse basis also. AD banks have been permitted to factor their export receivables on non-recourse basis so as to enable the exporters to improve their cash flow and meet their working capital requirement, which is subject to the condition that number one is bank should take their own business decision to enter into such a export factoring arrangement on non-recourse basis. Non-recourse basis means what? Suppose the ultimate buyer is not in position to make the payment, then the bank will not have any recourse to go back to the exporter and recover its funds. That is called non-recourse basis. And normal recourse basis means if export is not realized and finance is made against the export bill, then those bills can be recovered by debit to the exporter's account. That is recourse basis. It's as simple to understand. Now, next, there should be ensure that client is not overfinanced. Generally, what happens, bank is also giving the export bill discounting facilities, and also they are going to the factors also, and factor is also giving the facility of financing. So there will be possibly two way finance can be made by these institutions. That should be avoided. That is stricter instruction from Reserve Bank of India to banks. So according to that, it has to be determined the working capital requirement of their clients, and accordingly limit should be fixed so that up to the value of invoice, their invoice can be or bill can be purchased for the purpose of factoring, and the invoices purchased should represent the genuine trade transaction. It should not, the invoice should not be a fake one or duplicate one. In case of export financing, it has not been done by the export factors, the export factor may pass on the net which is received from the overseas buyer value for that goods directly to the exporter concern. Okay, then being an export factor, okay, bank, if it is into the export factoring business, and it being the export factors, it should have the arrangement with the another factor that is called import factor for credit evaluation and collection of the payment. They are simultaneously with the coordination of each other, they will see that whether factoring business or finance can be given under factors or not, depending upon the report which is received from the import factors. The notation should be made on the invoice that the importer has to make the payment to the import factors. It means export factoring bank relying on the import factor in buyer's country. When the goods, when the documents are sent, goods are already dispatched, when the documents are already sent, then it is a responsibility of the import factor at the instruction of the export factor to collect the funds from the buyer of the goods and give it to the export factors. After factoring, the export factor may close the export bill when it is received from, when they are receiving from the import factor, or complete realization. Okay, and when the realization happens, then outstanding shipping bill can be closed by entering into the EDPMS, that is Export Data Processing Monitoring System. Like how there is a Import Data Processing and Monitoring System, there is also the Export Data Processing and Monitoring System, which is made available by Reserve Bank of India. Okay. Thank you very much.